上界尽头没在为我一人着个那么大心却不能说一德门古路人那么的那么的也他也没
上界
却能做界就那么想就不做那些家属大给去去了一边说那么的着那偏见上界都不能说
上界去当初去
就那么想就不得到你家属界大给去去一边说那么的着那偏见上界都不能说
上界去当
初去就那么想就不得到你家属界大给去去一边说那么的着那偏见上界都不能说
我那时候马上能给他当年被升级他们就等到他家烂了没把羊打完这边升级就公报了不就真的就特别下过给他不了下一切都还没确认不就三年被各种升级就升级三年升级过呢三百年
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenmentFor the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings, and with that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Mana dangaran chama lo ani che dugu bi jinsin de ali tambon san tong ate kichin bu chiris.
I think it is very important for all of us to.Contemplate the reasons why we need to cultivate spirituality.
That the land society and those in San Juan, yeah, those in any San Juan Tony, court of a chair.
I think if we could come out from our own contemplation or thinking.Why do we need to cultivate spirituality? That's very important.
Karin is na maran do chama lo ke ane deje te tu ta de ne devan devi ore ane mendu ju ta karin is na tu ta de ne ane dungi ta dungi ki ju ta kandi ji ne ti mendu berit ni kandi ji ne yang ran so devi yo maran was.
Deep down, what we find that is common to all of us as sentient beings is we are seeking, happiness and its causes, and what we all don't want is suffering and its causes.
That is...Mindar rehitar sosu rangtol karishumayna te santone ya koyarız.
And I think it would be very good if we can, bring our everyday personal experiences, that we could easily relate to, that would make sense to us in terms of what we are really seeking and what we don't want.
No, no, that...ti kanre se na ranto la dungi chi yu kanle chi shin yin ta re hi ta dungi chi yu kanle chi shun wa yin na ya te ya te shun sa te ne ta ane rang ke le ngam ba sa ni ti wang ke shun ma din be he ba she ta de ni zun te re ni zun te ane dungi de le ta ta rang de gu mi du shun sa ane dungi ke ju a ane ta re a me ge le san ma sa sam ba chen pa sam pa ke gu
So if we could, relate our deep wishes and experiences, which are basically seeking happiness and its causes, and not wanting any suffering its causes, if we can relate these things to our everyday personal life experiences, I think it would make much more sense and meaningful to us, because every day we may experience certain pain, problem, and suffering. It could be little, it could be of different degree, or it could be big. But when we do experience any problem and suffering, if we could bring to our mind that the reason why I am experiencing this suffering I don't want is because this suffering has been brought to me by my own negative karmic actions. And from now onwards, from this very moment onward, if I do not want to have this kind of suffering or any kind of suffering at all, then I must not create and accumulate negative karmas or negative karmic actions. And also, in our everyday life experiences, as we find ourselves seeking, comforts and, happiness and a real kind of happiness, and when we find that we really are not finding what we are really seeking, we should be able to bring to our mind that the only way we can find real peace and happiness is through cultivating spirituality, or what we call in Tibetan Chö, Dharma. And we can consider the fact that the happiness and peace cannot be bought by dollars or any kind of currencies. It's not in the market we can shop around for peace, real peace and happiness. So the real peace and happiness that we are really seeking have to come from our own practice of spirituality.
So this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. Ranglan debi devas kani jinna ta ti khele ten yungu ndo sa ta khe duji te ta ngeba ta ke ne ta tsangma ke gurus.
So as we do such contemplation, then we should be able to come to this kind of a clear, if you will, cut decision, if you will, that is, I don't want any kind of problems that I face in my life now and or in the future. So what can really help me to get out of these problems is not to create their negative causes. And we learn this through spirituality. And I do want happiness, the real kind of happiness we're talking about, but I'm not getting it. And the only way I could get real happiness is not through some external material causes and conditions, but through cultivating a spirituality. So then we come to this really clarity and a decision that spirituality or Dharma is the real source of happiness and peace that we are seeking, and it is the solution to the problems and sufferings that we do not want. So through such contemplation, we come to make a decision that yes, I see the point that I need to cultivate or practice spirituality. So we make that decision. Well, I mean, it's good to make that decision, but then we also cannot leave that decision to be carried out at some another time, but we now need to make another decision with it. That is, if I see that spirituality needs to be cultivated, I see the point in that, then and when should I be doing it? Says the point, the time is now. I need to practice or cultivate spirituality now.
That thing be junse kare na ta da ran du go ya kare se na rang chawal nge pa yo mares.
So then we could ask ourselves, you know, why do I have to feel the sense of urgency? Why now? Now, you know? Well, when we consider the fact of the matter about our life is very uncertain. I mean, when can we predict, you know, how long this life is going to last? I mean, can anyone predict their own death or the end of life? No, we can't. So that is a very uncertain world we live in. When we conceive in the womb of the mother, and from the very second moment, you know, it has become a definite fact that every passing moment we are, you know, moving closer to death. So there has not been a time where we said, you know what, I got a break here, you know. So this is a good break, so that I have not been moving towards or closer to death. From the second moment of our conception in the womb of the mother, we have been coming closer to what is called end of life or death. So a universal fact here is that death is certain. Right? I mean, there is no mystery about that. We don't have to doubt about it. This is a universal truth. Everybody has to die. Okay. But then, another truth principle here is, that being the case, but the time of death is uncertain. That is universal too. We don't know when death is going to strike us. As it is very clearly stated in Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path, and it is a genre in Tibetan Buddhism called Lamrim, stages of the path. As it is clearly stated in Lamrim treatises of the text, as Geshe-la quoted the lines, there is no addition, literally translating to our lifespan. Whatever karma has, in other words, decided, that's it. We cannot expand our lifespan beyond that limit. But there are many unfavorable conditions which are cutting short our lifespan. There are many adverse factors working against our life, but our lifespan is definite. And we cannot, you know, add anything more to that. Of course, these universal truths have originally been spoken of by a historical teacher, Guru Shakyamuni Buddha. But then great Indian Buddhist master, realized master commentators have commented on his teachings. And one of the great commentators is Arya Nagarjuna. And in his precious garland of Ratna Avali, Omar Rinchen Chenwa, precious garland, it is said, this example is given, that our life is as transient as a burning candlelight, we call it butter lamp, that is put outside in a windy place. Now, you should think about that. If you put a burning candlelight out in a windy place, I mean, can anyone predict when that flame is going to go out? Or how much, you know, adverse conditions is working against that burning flame?
So, that's the thing. tse rinpo yun ya ta, ko pa tais deya ka sam kaani sahu yar basi, yin ya ko, ane di chen ma shen pa shen, ane kiwi chen roya ta, se samata, goyo goyo ta, tanti chamal wote, tunpi chen, tani mangpo chen, ane kiwi chen, roya ma pa cha yu yar basi, tani nga su haku do basi.
So there are, relatively speaking, fewer conditions which can sustain our life, but there are many more adverse conditions which could cut short our lifespan. So even within the limited resources of the sustenance of our life, these sustenance could also easily change into or become adverse conditions. Let me give you some examples here. We all know that we eat properly, and we eat because we want to sustain our life. And we take medication so that we can take good care of our health. Maybe we want to live long and healthy. That, even that being the case, these what so-called the favorable conditions for our life could easily become adverse conditions. And we know of how, and if we're not careful with what we eat and all that, the food can become a cause of our sickness and death. Or over medication, or taking the wrong medication, or what else could happen, go wrong with medication, we could die. So even the food, medicine, and those things which are supposed to support our life system, and we really trust them in many ways, but these could become adverse conditions that could cut short our lifespan. So when we take all these factors into the equation, our life, is really very transient and ephemeral.
So that and this and that, and in this one, the cancer, joy, curse, but in the water, cancer, Rawan, you tune it, cut in the Zimmer machine. Yang sah lom ini zaman jin delishan ikan gelombang jus, tatara ngandu tanda mili ten ke nani cuci dupi ane luten jitre, jadi tatara cuci madun ane sheni ane sheni ngandu le sheni, sebab ni tat ini alhangke de suka tat kira kabur iskan ngandu wa.
With all that being said. But we also need to understand that the life that we experience now, this precious human life, is a best kind of life one could find in a cyclic existence. And so we have the ability to do something now. And so it's very important that we have freedoms and abilities to make decisions and to implement our decisions to cultivate spirituality. But if we don't do this, once we miss the opportunities, it would rather be very difficult to find this kind of precious life and wonderful opportunities over and again. And so that message has been captured very clearly by a great Indian realized Buddhist master, Acharya Chandrakirti, in his supplement to the Middle Way or Madhyamik Avatar, as Geshe-la quoted the stanzas from his memory. So in that he gives this example of, he said, when the beings have relative freedoms, of course, to make their own decisions and to do what they want, if they don't use those freedoms and abilities right now, once they fall into precipice or a dungeon, then it would rather be very difficult to get out of this dungeon. So, of course, he's talking in a very metaphorical sense, which is right now we have the freedoms and resources and abilities to make proper decision and cultivate spirituality and decide our future in a spiritual sense. But if we don't do that and we miss opportunities, once we are in the dungeons of unfortunate states of rebirth, then it will rather be very difficult for us to get out of the dungeons where there are no freedoms and where our abilities are very limited.
So, Jerumba Chakatahana Yikita, Lundeshima Gueshe, and Tawe tendela te nyimbo namba tawe je lento ta nyimbo rande tasum nanda anu je lento be shegur kanang dumas.
And great Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumbuche also tells us in his works that having found this precious human life, we should make a proper decision to at least fulfill one of the three types of essence of life. If we couldn't fulfill the great essence of life or the middling essence of life, at least we should see that we fulfill the small essence of life.
So the tongue around to continue lelo mangbo ki yer tang anjule ani lelo lele want to mason be se ni rang rang pe kuma tang ni kuja tang ni ni tar rihile ani so so joyo go de gen dona ani ki lega se ta lega se bi kali se ga se go se ina ya so so tse ya bi tse ya na ya tse de che so ma tang be se ni dri de joyo go de gen dona ta rang ko cha tang ni so so ani ani che bi tang ba kan na ge tu tem be se ni ko cha tang go res.
One of the challenges that we have to confront in our life is laziness. We shouldn't let ourselves come under the influence of laziness. I do recognize the necessity that we have to go to work and do the things we need to do. But once we, come home or we have time, then we really need, if we find ourselves being lazy, it's just like, we don't know what to do, we are just killing time, then we really need to remember the great advices and the words of the holy masters and inspire and motivate ourselves to make really best use of our time to be able to cultivate spirituality. We must not simply kill time or lose the time, but need to motivate ourselves and fight laziness to do that.
And
so besides time we have to spend for work and all that, but in between, if we have find good times, we must not just get distracted in hustle and bustle of life.
Oh yeah. So, ane lelo tle shawang yin le chabi lelo ta shaw jilu pi lelo ta chue zani du thuk marisa ni pesan tam bin na ti jilu pi lelo ti kagur sa.
As I was explaining to you some other times, there are different types of laziness. There's a kind of laziness which is even if we have time, but we kind of feel undermined our own abilities. I can't do it. I don't think I'm qualified to practice. So we kind of undermine our own, state of being and ability, and that is a form of laziness. So by just giving that kind of a justification, then we just don't do it.
That can take ane re ta jilo pile lu shomba ina te nye go tele an jasi shomba kya la ka nan do was kon na hawa ma in pingo te kan ya mains su se pa ndu sin jane tambo pe ribatu kande che ina pe jante che vin ta drun do res kan nan do was su tang to te nge pa do ko khati chan san tang.
So if this is the kind of laziness that is influencing us, it's just like, I can't do it, I can't practice Dharma, it's above my head, I'm really not qualified. And so in order to counteract that kind of laziness of underestimation, we want to recall the great inspirational advice of Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shanideva. From his guide to Bodhisattva's way of life, Bodhisattva Charavatar, where he tells us that by the power of familiarization or familiarity, everything gets easy to be done. In other words, what he's telling us is that if we keep on doing something, it may be difficult at the beginning or in the middle, but by the power of familiarization, that it should become easier to do the thing. It's in the law of nature, So we have to bring that kind of advice and message into our mind that, it is difficult now, but I should keep on doing it so that it is in the law of nature that things should become easier to do. So by bringing that kind of message or advice from Shantideva to our mind, that if we keep on doing our practice, even if it's difficult now, through the power of intimacy and familiarization with the practice, we will be able to do it easily. But if that still is like we think like, okay, I need to kind of think, need more than that, well then think about all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you know, who we admire and who have gained tremendous realizations. And nobody started off as a Buddha or Bodhisattva, you know, because there was a time they were just as deluded as we are now. You know, it's same ground they were on before. But they decided to cultivate enthusiastic perseverance, chundu, virtuous effort, literally translating. And so with that kind of a perseverance, they fought off with different forms of laziness. And now when we look at them, where are they? As a result of that, you know, enthusiastic perseverance, they have become bodhisattvas, they have become Buddhas, they are on a very higher level of realizations. Now where do we find ourselves compared to them? We are still deluded and stuck, and we are nowhere spiritually really, in terms of realization. So then we get inspiration from these great examples, maybe today's language is role models, you know, that if we put our heads together and we cultivate enthusiastic perseverance, we could become, Bodhisattvas and Buddhas.
So that can be some of the Mambo and Koguduna, and that can be the Aina, Tambokona, so the Tambokona pair, Sanji, the Shamisama Yi, the Mendo Sandi, the Digger, Tesson Sagdun, the Sayo Maris. Manas and Hemata, Dusi in a cup of Mampen Hun and Kiba Chagri. Then Trans Malaria Bahagur was.
So as you consider this kind of a thinking and you kind of still kind of a suspicion, you know what, I really, maybe there are Buddhas right from the day one or beginning, or Bodhisattvas, you know. And but then we really have to tell ourselves, no, I mean, that is not truth of the matter. Because it could be many, many eons before, but there was a time they were exactly like us, deluded sentient beings. And but they changed, you know, they transformed themselves. And let me bring to mind, you know, maybe a more recent example of problem. Many of you have heard about the great Tibetan yogi Milarepa story. Milarepa, in the early part of his life, he was not a good person. Actually, he used what is called, for lack of a better, more profound English term, used a black magic. So by using the black magic, he killed many people and beings. So created and accumulated tremendous negative karmic actions. But then, you know, he brought inner changes within himself, and he cultivated spirituality very purely, and he confessed or purified his negativities through the power of Dharma. And then in the later part of his life, he became an enlightened person.
That's Sanji Yuku Tula, and some traumatic thing is good to go to Kogusene. And then those here, Jetson, until any kuna le zambu ki nusin, pacha zambu ki se ni, ane sanji tan, tambo ali sanji trubaj, ta sanji tan jesin nandik dhu, sanji tan te, ane dragyan bu kumbata tani shungi waris.
And then there's the story of Angulimala, who was in ancient times the prime example of a murderer and a criminal, if you today use of language. He killed as many as 999 people out of wrong views, following the wrong path. But then, a particular good karma that he had accumulated in the past got activated, and through his encounter with Buddha, and then through his inner transformation, the changes he brought within himself, that he pursued the Dharma purely and dedicatedly, and then he became what we call an arahat or arahan, someone who completely freed himself from samsara.
Tanzo loju tanzo ani sanje ke tanda ani loju binol ta kanju binol ti yore ta ten kodi bitin res.
So this story of Angulimala and many other great beings who transformed their lives are recorded in sutras.
Monas, ta ti tarang joke ngan sama ta tenda karin na tu ta ni so so ni chu du guya ta. Rangdo yinba tang, rangde tele rang doja te. Ani chu madrum na rang doja tatu te. Ta neka bhi zan yeta neka da tatu ge te. Dewa kandi chi na te yung me ba tang. Dungi se ge tap te chu ma to ta yin le nuba me ba te sang tang ni me ba sang tang gres.
So I have shared some of these thoughts which I thought would be beneficial to you and to myself. That I started off telling you that we need to first consider the reasons why we need to practice Dharma or spirituality in our life. And then I talked about how Dharma is the source of happiness that we are seeking, and it is the solution to the suffering that we want to get rid of for good. And we need to practice, make a decision to practice Dharma, and also a decision that we should practice Dharma now. And these are really important really matters that we should all give thoughts to.
Gitenpa namchi, ane dusundu wata, gitenpa namchi dunghe ta deva nyinchi nani, dunghe dhyogurima, karasi, deva dhyogurima to dunghe dhyogurima arvas, ki kasi ka nami yas, imbas.
So just to refresh your mind where we left off last time, referring to the text called Miscellaneous Collection of Personal Advices from the Great Kadampa Geshes, in Tibetan, it's just, it's a shorter title, but in English it's a mouthful for a translator to say. Anyway, one of the advices from Great Kadampa Geshe is that ordinary people, they cherish happiness but not suffering. But if we really want to be sincere Dharma practitioners, according to this great Kadampa Geshe, we need to do the opposite. We need to learn to cherish suffering, not happiness.
Yes.
But when we say cherish happiness, that also gives a sense of like we need to willingly accept certain suffering, and we need to know what kind of a suffering that we should be willing to accept.
Tā dungē tēsē gīndī jī shāvā shēyā tā, lā mē kēchū dūyā tā gīndī jī shāvā shēyā tā, tā dungē anī dungē tēnē kato rāng chū dūyā tā nī, tā dungē kāndī jī shūyā tēlē anī zū sēn shī nī, anī tē tāngdā lāng rī, tā tāngdā lāng mā yī nā, tī lō shō tēlē anī rāng lī tā pēmā kī mū jī dūgū rī sī, kāndā ngā dūgā.
So the kind of suffering, the Tibetan term is called dunga, which is a very generic term. I think it also includes problems and difficulties and challenges and all of that. So sometimes in English it might not sound appropriate to say it's suffering, but just to give you that sense. And so what kind of suffering that we should be willing to take upon ourselves is when it comes to, rendering service to Sangha or monastic communities, or to our spiritual guides. So whatever suffering, now in this case, I think suffering maybe is too strong a word in English, but whatever challenges or difficulties and headaches we have to go through, we should be able to willingly accept them. Because by doing that, by willingly accepting these difficulties and challenges and pains and headaches, we are able to create positive actions.
And
then also when we confront very significant kind of a problem or suffering, but there's a way to kind of relate to that suffering, understand that suffering. Now, in other words, if we can adopt a certain perspective on the experience of suffering, experience of suffering doesn't have to be necessarily bad, you know. But we confront a significant suffering, if we adopt a perspective to look at it properly, we can understand that while this suffering annoys me like anything, so that could be used to help us to cultivate aversion to suffering in samsara or to renounce samsara. So it's a good thing, see. If we look at the suffering and understand it, we might appreciate it that this suffering is driving me nuts, that I really don't like samsara anymore. I want to get out. So, I mean, that way the suffering can become instrumental for us to understand the real nature of samsara, which is suffering-based, and so we don't want to suffer anymore, and we want to make efforts to get out of suffering of samsara. So that's how we cultivate what is called aspiration, seeking freedom or liberation from samsara. And here the great master tells us that if we follow the advices he has given us, you know, and which basically say if we apply ourselves properly into our spiritual practice that involves abandoning negativities and defilements, so we abandon what we should abandon, and we properly cultivate positive actions and positive qualities, the things we should cultivate. If we apply ourselves properly in this practice, then, you know, we don't have to worry about our future. Is our future going to be bright and beautiful, the future lives? Yes, it is going to be. We do not have to ask for divination from lamas. Like we go and ask, like, well, can you do a divination? Say, is my, you know, my future is going to be bright and positive if I practice dharma properly? No, we don't have to ask that. You know, it is guaranteed that future will be beautiful and positive.
So, tate lunde ngaranso ta lunde mesin di thol ani zangi kandi ji shomba ngi na ta ti shewa ngama rank te te da ga na ngi le ji sa wing bade ani lu lu ten di thol mende pri mambo hibi shomba she kangi kali ka bo hibi shomba ngi na shewa ngama da rank me migi le sab chim bade ri sa ni ani ti nya wala nyu ni wala nyu ma jundu jinde bade ni nyu ma ta khe bade ta dan chen de chi bo da de wa bo shomba ngi na shewa ngama la rank le zang bo san ti na mi ti arda rank dandis nam te yong te yin bat ta ta che bre te.
So based upon good and bad life experiences in this here and now, we can infer what we did in our past lives. Been through so much troubles and suffering and pains in this life, then we should understand that these sufferings are the outcomes of negative karmic actions that we ourselves did and accumulate in the past lives. Of course, those negativities could have been experienced in the bad migrations, in the hell, or hungry ghosts, etc. But then what we experience in our human life are still sort of the outcomes, what we call the results corresponding to the causes. Now I know I'm talking very technical here. I can't help with that. Otherwise I'll end up giving teaching on this one. So we experience the main results of negativities, the serious negativities in the bad migrations, but even when we attain good rebirth due to some good karma now, but still we experience many negative results which are corresponding to the negativities we did in the past. So, I mean, that's the understanding. And but then whatever goodness and comforts and pleasures and happiness, in the quotation mark, we experience in this life, these are the results of good karmas that we did and accumulate in our past life. So what we experience now are the outcomes primarily of what we did, good and bad things, in our past lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of understanding is very important for us. One of the important points that I want to emphasize and clarify is we have to really be very careful to understand law of karma and its outcomes or results. Otherwise, we might, misunderstand how the law of karma operates and functions, and generate what we call distorted or wrong views with regard to the law of karma. What I really mean to say here is, like, you know, sometimes we might think, you know what, well, I know of such and such people who are very decent, you know, caring, honest to Buddha kind of people, but they are going through so miserable life. It seems like all the miseries are raining down on these people. So what is this all about, so we have to really understand the karmic perspective very properly, and why these things are happening. In this life, while these people themselves know, honest to themselves and honest to Buddha, that they are kind and nice and gentle and loving people. But all the misery seems to be befalling these people. So what's happening? So we really need to understand the karmic perspective very properly. Shakyamuni Buddha, our main guru, already said it very clearly in sutras that people experience results according to the type of karmas that they have created and accumulated. So he said, you reap the fruits according to the seeds that you sow in. That's the language he used, you know. So that means it doesn't matter. It really means what we experience is the result of our karma, and, it has really nothing to do with our status and positions in the society or how much wealth we have and all that. In accordance with the karmas we create and accumulated, we have to experience the results accordingly. So the power of karma is, I think equal to the power of a Buddha, or even it is more, in some sense, I should say, the power of the karma is cannot be changed. It is very, in that sense, fixed. You know, nobody can sort of change the power of the karma.
le se ya ten shetani le ki ke kangal ten dushi ni wangju ya main pa so so le ta sang tang gurus.
So again, when we think about karma, we should not think as if there is only one universal karma and that is making all the tricks on us. You know, karmas are just innumerable. And we as individuals create a lot of personal individual karmas. So then we experience their results. And then again, Kanabakishi Chengaba continued to say that today, that must be at his time, is that even the people who are very well known as, you know, very good practitioners, but many of them, their practice is mixed with worldly concerns.
Ta karre se na ta junse ke grovas kare se na kong ta mandu junse kan nang yo tang bo la se tang tang bo de le ye ji to ne se ye gran kha tong ye to ne de bar la sun ju se sta de da ning bar re ane pe ta ngo sung de de se gre
es kan. So then he kind of goes into more detail, you know, how that being the case, even among the people who were very well known to be good practitioners, or very good practitioners, but many of their practice is marred by, it is kind of a mixed with the interest of this lifetime and worldly concerns. He said, you know, what I find is that they are really so much, doing things just to favor people's expectations, you know, they don't want people to go on yagadi about them, and so then they just start to practice just to favor or fulfill the expectations of other people.
Tanda de shebe na ane sendele chani chudre de sendele chindi ani shawatan drain shigures ta kare na chu na ba ta ba dung ne chil e tong kan na do was.
You know, that's is the case, let's say, if somebody practice, you know, to fulfill others' expectations of what others are thinking about him or her, then that is already related with worldly concern, you know. But the pure practice of Dharma is, you know, it involves renouncing worldly concerns. You know, don't have to be bothered with what other people think about, you know, what, you know, you or he or she are doing, you know. But if somebody is concerned what others are thinking about his or her practice, then that is a worldly concern.
So, then,
Once a lay person with a lay practitioner's vows asked the great Domtenpa how to practice Dharma, and the Domtenpa said, Chelatam, you know, means you should give up the interests of worldly concerns of this life. And the Tibetan, literally it means Chelatam means give up your life. But that doesn't mean commit suicide. You know, give up your life in the sense of keep up that, you know, worldly concerns and interest of life. So the point that Geshe Chagam makes is, you know, don't practice just to kind of, you know, favor other people's expectations about you.
No, no. That, you know, ndechirchi towa nese, chowe nyembare shese. Tayang ji, ndreda tendega pe tishiyaka, tishiyata ta, tenzu pa kongshu shese gnubata.
No.
Po nyeyaka cheto, ane, nyemba shese. Nyemba shese, ngune shun sanji, ane, ngudu ndreyakche, ngudu te chow, ngudu te tungu, ngudu nyi ten, ndreyaka cheto re mato, ndreko pa siji nyeyaka cheto marewa.
No.
Deta ten za tendega shese gresga nwa.
Then Geshe Chagaba also says that, you know, one must not do retreats, nyenpa, meditation retreats, to gain certain kind of power to control what is called demons or the evil spirits. Because then that would be like a worldly concern again. But the whole point of doing retreats is to be able to make spiritual accomplishments that could be common accomplishments or uncommon accomplishments, spiritual, not just to be able to, how should I say, control some invisible beings. One must not be so much concerned with holding things, so concerned with like, okay, you know, if I kind of live too long alive, then, you know, I might not find enough things to eat or whatever later part of it. So just so concerned with food and eating, which is really worldly concern, and one should not worry like that as a really true practitioners.
So that I got any social any pork tawness. Tsujun has so says, Tapena, re, any, Tsujus is under it, only Shaw Maybach, Tapena, Namji, any, Susu, any peg, Sherba Yapo man, that's to the Sherba pay, that indeed, really chair to any Sherba Yamushi. Then Namji, he that is a matter, any, Uncle Segre. Monsieur, me, two little, say, what I'm saying.
No.
Don't call you upon this here, the kids, this year to the reta, Nancy.
No. And then Geshe Chagaba says that one must not be a hypocrite. Which is like, you know, in so concerned with one's image and name, and then, you know, don't want any people bad-mouthing you or bad name creating. And so concerned with that, that practitioners can become a hypocritical. The Tibetan word is called suchu, means hypocrite, exactly, you know. Hypocrite has sense of like, what you are doing, projecting the image is not really you. You know, you try to project to be a good guy and a good girl, but really you are not. You try to project like a very good meditative practitioner, but you are fake, you know. That's a hypocrisy, and that's not a practice.
No, that's a sydney.
And Geshe Chagaba is very clear, he said, you know, with all these kind of concerns, you know, about worldly things and this life, now if some practitioners try to say, oh, I'm really working for enlightenment, I want to become a Buddha, he said, give me a break. That doesn't work. I mean, he didn't say exactly, give me a break, but he said, it does not work. With all these concerns and trying to find Buddhahood is, you know, it doesn't work.
All right. That did what that and dig a tone and that and dig it. Penna's dying pages now yet. Luigi here, but Satan Dickens at it. Luigi here in us, Rava.
No.
Luigi or Walla. Luigi here in a. Ane, Jeva Chutupachita, stop Luce this and talk along the Tati, say a car listener. Jeva Chutupachita, Jeva to say it. Jeva Chutubas and Jevas is any thing you want. Munzo come in a draw thing.
No, okay.
Auntie Baba, Baba, the Nuches of the Rita.
No,
at the Nuches of Saint Chita. Ya, Jin, any put on lag bay, methic by knee, dirty mayonse. That is, Lute say, Tiga ane kuat tiga tiga nanti jisok saya kita. Sem tiga tahun ni lu tiga peta ni peta 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 tong saya kita. Tadi sama ni na ni yang ku marah sungguh dah. Cepat so.
Sadi ni sekarang yang ku marah. And so here, Kishi Chenrabo gives an example. The example is you might find a little weird in the sense. So that's why I had asked Kishi what the real meaning he was trying to convey this. And I think the meaning is easier to convey than the example. So what he said is that, you know, if we are too much concerned with the worldly things, and then we also want to become enlightened, these two motivations don't go together. If you are concerned with this life, can't have enlightenment. If you are very concerned with enlightenment, you can't be too much concerned with this lifetime, because those two things do not go together, incompatible. And so this is just like, you know, as you have a saying in English, that, you know, if the needle has two points, you cannot stitch. You know, and the example Geshe Chenrabo gives here to make this point is, he said that in the case of a butcher who wants to kill a lamb, okay, so if the butcher's motivation is to, you know, to how should I say, use the skin, kill the lamb. I told you this is not weird example. Kill the lamb so that you can use the skin to make, okay. In Tibet they used to make some kind of utensil out of the sheep's, sheep skin, that's what I said, not lamb, what I'm talking about. Sheep's skin, some kind of a utensil, then you can't forget about the using the wool of the sheep, you know. If you want to make use of the wool of the sheep, then forget about, you know, making utensil out of the sheep's skin, because those two things don't go together. As I told you, the example gets a little more difficult way to understand than the real meaning. The real meaning is that the worldly motivation and spiritual motivation do not go together. If too much concern with this life and still say, I want to become a Buddha, forget it. Because those two motivations are incompatible with each other. If really one means it, that I want to become a Buddha, then one has to renounce worldly concerns and worldly activities. So now, as we are talking about, right, renouncing worldly concerns and renouncing samsara and, you know, things like that, and how do you understand it? What does a renunciation mean, you know? Do you think that, oh, now that means I have to throw away all the things I have accumulated over the years, like all the material stuff, and just throw everything out? That's not the point. Don't start doing that. You know, don't start throwing out, you know, your resources or things.
Tomorrow everything is out from your apartment or house. Then people say, "Why? What are you doing?" Because I'm renouncing.
The fact of the matter is, to be able to practice Dharma, we need, you know, resources. The renunciation really, what it means is, don't be attached to resources. It doesn't mean, you know, get rid of or throw away all the resources. As Kishila put it really, I think, better than I was trying to translate, you know. Don't start to throw up things from your room or house, you know. That's not necessarily renunciation. Renunciation means do not get attached to things.
Churanzo nge hyama ne hye yoris. Churanzo le ane kanga le ane kambaya nang ta ane tili ane ti yorwas. Batarung yorwas, ina ti gugu yorwas, ina tili hyencha singi suka ayunas.
So here is an example. I think I've used this example, I think, before also. Maybe some of you might remember how we need to have a really right understanding of how we need certain resources, but we should use it because we need it, but don't get attached to it. Okay, this is the example I used before, and, you know, it was that everybody has what we call, you know, restroom in the house, right? You all have that. And you do need to use your restroom. But is anybody attached to the restroom?
I don't think so.
So the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, yes, we have a, you know, biological need to use the toilet or the restroom, but we use it, we need it, but we don't get attached to it. This is the right attitude. We need to use the resources to support our life and to do practice, but don't get attached to them.
Nonetheless,
Now what should one do? You know, he kind of raises the question to himself and then he tries to answer it.
Ona kanchuk shahe na seta de danying bare.
Wo
cha las sun ne ba shen she de yong yang seta. Mara so le ne zhe ba shen su shong yang. De le ma je ba zhe ba congress kana.
So what we should do now? He said, well, when others bring harms to us or harms to us, we should not retaliate against them. Be patient.
Da ani tela ani ka tangpo sui cha pen de me pa yin. Da tela ani pege zheba ma gong ba shin de nebe len de tel nebe shin de gu amare kan ne.
So as, you know, practitioners, we should learn to tolerate what others say to us or do to us, like harmful things and negative things. We must not, how should I say, retaliate against them. Don't do the same thing back to them. You know, benefiting those who harm us, that is a real practice of Bodhisattva. So if others are bad-mouthing you, the best antidote you have to deal with that is patience. So when others badmouth you, if you badmouth them, he said that is, that doesn't serve any purpose, meaningful. If others harm you and you harm them back, he said that doesn't lead anywhere. It is, you know, it's useless. But then he asks this question to himself. He said, you know, what if the invisible, you know, negative beings harm us? So then what should we do?
So 산통그레신.
Remember earlier he said that, you know, one must not practice to gain control over some kind of evil spirits or demonic beings, invisible, because that is, you know, not the right motivation to do. And now he raises a question here, what if these demonic beings and evil spirits harm me? So then what should I do? So if we are thinking in the same way, well, if there's some kind of invisible negative spirits are harming me, then what should I do, you know? And then he says, in answer to that question, what if the evil spirits and invisible negative beings are harming me? How should I deal with that? He says, at such time, we should reflect on the selfless nature of one's existence. That in ultimate sense, self or I does not and don't exist in and of itself. So in that sense, I'm just like what we called horn on a bunny's head. Bunny does not have horns, you know. So self-existence is as non-existent as the horns on a bunny's head.
Luta so kandigine pamba mepa tan dele tansarins zombies and tela ane things and tonsung landage tonsung gang landage yune de inran nebashim vaj santong res.
So we just said, you know, I have completely dedicated myself to the well-being of beings. I have given everything I have, my body, flesh, blood, everything to the benefit of others, and I have given them to you already, the demons and the, you know, the cannibals and the evil spirits. So nothing left for me to give you, and there's nothing you can harm me, and we just reflect on the selfless nature of things or
existence.
So here the great master Geshe Chang tells us that the most powerful antidote to counteract any harms being posed by evil spirits and such beings is to meditate on or reflect upon selflessness or emptiness.
Talk deba sevi de mesun sta to tende ge sang dang bi na chue tang ge rang gi me ku zu de rang gi ji me ba tang ani to mo ni to bi xir da rang ge lu so de ani tan de da lan sen ji de de re ani se ye tang ge le pa ngue ne tang cha ri da phang ba me ba bur ji li ji sta ya pu yu ri ma tang ga tang yu ri tende ge sang tang de za ma ze ani to ni to bi xir de da de to ba ni de na sang ji tang bi na
So here, the bottom line is this: the Geshe Chenpa says that as a practitioner, we offer everything we have to delight Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or the objects of refuge. We give everything we could, or dedicate them for the benefit of the poor and the needy, and all beings, sentient beings. So basically, we have given up everything for others, and so if we meditate on the emptiness of self and things, or the selflessness, then that is the most powerful antidote to counteract harms posed by evil spirits. And if we can do that, we do not even have to recite some kind of what we call the mantras of the wrathful deities. We don't need to do that.
So often
before we do practice, we recite Heart Sutras and things like that. So in our teachings, before we do teachings, you know, we don't do the whole Heart Sutra, but we do a stanza that pertains to the Heart Sutra. And by doing that, you know, if there are any obstacles, that could prevent our spiritual engagement and practice of the teachings. So through this meditation on the emptiness and reciting the Heart Sutra mantra, you know, we purify these obstacles.
Rangle, sumar dini guru na ni tongpa ni tuen san tu tani tongpa ni tou yo man ha so tou ya khaw re de yin na ta tongpa ni sing bi san ju ma she pa re chue dan ye rang yi zhe ba zan ne me san bi san de dang bi yin na ne ne ba xia qin bu guo yo de.
So if we also want to provide the best kind of spiritual protection to ourselves, I think meditation on emptiness is the best protection we can give to ourselves. That we, of course, we don't pretend that we understand or realize emptiness, which we don't. But if we do reflect on how, even conventionally, nothing exists in and of itself, so everything is in the nature of emptiness or selflessness, and if we can reflect and meditate on this, that is creating the best protection ring around ourselves. But I must caution ourselves that as we think about emptiness, you know, we have to be very careful, because in some sense it's very risky. If we kind of presuming that we are meditating on emptiness, but we kind of concluded and, you know what, nothing exists at all, zippo, you know, nothing exists. So all things fake, or kind of a fantasy world. Well, we have become a nihilist. We have denied the existence of everything that exists, and that is not meditating on emptiness. You know, we really turn ourselves into an nihilist or nihilist. So we really have to be careful about what is emptiness that we are talking about, you know.
Gaja rangij drupa kaan te ka bi shuitele ta tomba ni te kya gurus.
To meditate on emptiness properly, we have to refute what is called inherent existence, which is the object of negation or refutation. And by refuting the object of negation, we reflect on the absence of inherent existence, which is the emptiness. So everything exist as mere labels. In other words, terms and concepts have labeled onto phenomena, and that's how the phenomena exist. So we are not denying the existence of phenomena, but they exist as mere labels, but nothing exists in and of itself, and so there is no such thing as objective or inherent existence.
That is the same thing that you have said about the Tishini Gomjin Center.
We don't have a time to go through, in the songs of the Miller Rebbe's, you know, how he dealt with the demons and evil spirits, so much is there to talk about. But what we learned from his life is that a lot of these obstacles and negativities, you know, we confront are created by our own mind. So we will stop there, and I have a prayer request here. I think there was a terrible cyclone in Burma, and according to some reports, 351 people died.
Oh, in Burma?
Yes, in cyclone. Lungs of Gabda, okay. And also we know that 203 people are confirmed dead in Tibet due to the communist gun down of Tibetan peaceful protest. 1,000 plus Tibetans are injured, confirmed, but there are more. and 5,714 people are captured and detained in prisons. We fear more. And so we request prayers for all of them. And David White passed away, so we request prayer for him too. So thinking about these people who have lost their lives and many others whose names are not with us, we visualize Chenre Sikh Ari Avalokiteshvara, Konyan Buddha, and recite Om Mani Padme Hum, six syllable mantra together and dedicate our prayers for them. Let's dedicate our collective marriage gained from these teachings for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings, wherever they are, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. So in particular, we dedicate our merit today to people who have lost lives in the cyclone in Burma and gunning down in Tibet by the communist regime. And as well as we know, in our own here in the United States, tornadoes have caused so much destruction. And if there were people who lost their lives, we dedicate our marriage for them to find a good
rebirth.
Last but not least, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly. And something I left from the previous explanation is Kishala said that people who died, I mean, this life, you know, maybe we may or may not have any connections, but it's just that, you know, we don't recognize each other sentient beings as a very related to us due to our changing rebirths, because we all have been each other's parents and best friends and all that. So we have that karmic connection, and we dedicate our marriage based on that connection for the people who lost their lives around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I just want to update you on the schedule, the upcoming schedule for TVL. Next Sunday, we'll be doing the 24-hour Mahayana precepts, so it'll start at 5 a.m. If you want to join us, it'll be 5 hours of practice before Geshe-la teaches. Then Geshe-la leaves.
Okay, I'm signing off. I can't hear anything.
Tuani can't hear anything. Gogi Mendoza. Tenzin?
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, hi Tenzin La.
I think your voice is getting chopped.
Oh, can you hear me now? It's a Verizon ad, right?
Hello.
Okay. Okay. So then, on May 13th to 19th, Geshe-la will be teaching in Grass Valley. So if you have friends who are in the area, you can let them know. Geshe-la will be teaching there. And just a few other things. Saturday, May 17th, the Buddhist Sangha Council is going to be celebrating Vesak or Sagadawa, which is the Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and passing, Parinirvana Day. And Geshe-la is part of the Buddhist Sangha Council and is encouraging us to attend that. It's going to be Saturday afternoon. So if you want more information, please see me. Let's see. For those Monday, May 19th in the evening, there's going to be a huge event in Azusa for Vesak as well. So if you're interested in that, please also see me. They're expecting 150 or more monks to attend. So that should be a nice one too. That's only 2 hours on Monday evening. Either Monday the 26th of May or the 27th for our community gathering, Geshe-la's old friend, who is the founder of Samyuling Monastery in Scotland, is going to be here. And he is a Kagyupa Rinpoche, and he founded Samyuling Monastery, which is a very much involved in service. And they have a lot of monastics, Scottish monastics, too. So he'll be giving a talk. Hopefully we're going to twist his arm to speak, because he'll be staying with us for a few days, but we'd like him to speak either Monday or Tuesday, so stay tuned for that. Let's see, Geshe-la has started a special class on Thursday evenings, occasional Thursday evenings, for those of you who have initiation into Kriya or Yoga Tantra or other tantras, and he's just giving some basic explanations. So it's not to say, I'm going to drop all my other classes and just come to that one. Geshe-la really wants you to have a strong foundation in Lam Rim. So that's going to be this Thursday night, and then the following Thursday night, there's no class. So, but on Sunday, June 8th, Geshe-la is going to give a Chenrezig initiation. So it's like a blessing initiation. session, and that's going to be Sunday here at 10:30 instead of class. So if you would like to have a Chenrezig, the Buddha of Compassion initiation, that's going to happen on June 8th. So that's going to be part of the month of Sagadawa, for the whole month of celebrating Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and passing day. So as part of that, for those of you who are interested, you'll have to mark your calendars. June 13th through 15th, Geshe-la will be leading a Nyungne fasting retreat, which is also very good to do. It's a purification and fasting, lots of prostrations and prayers. Good to do during the month of Sagadawa. So if you want to mark your calendars for that. Then the actual day is a full moon on Wednesday the 18th, so we'll have some prayers that evening. And then, yes, it's Wednesday full moon, so we'll have some prayers then.
I think maybe do more, you know, that's okay.
Okay.
We do more offerings and appreciation, and really it is great.
Okay, and then June 29th, Sunday, is a regular teaching class, but Bibi and Zuyet Do and myself are planning to have a children's class, so if you want to bring children on that day, they'll start out with prayers here with Geshe-la, and then we'll have a class in the residence. So this will be posted on the website, and we'll have copies available. But I just want to let you know in advance.
Will the Geshe-la's Chenrezig initiation qualify people to come to the Thursday?
Yeah, Geshe-la consult.
Everybody. Means if they have a refugee. Jaina, yes. If they have a refugee bows, someone. Person who have come here would be good, but even brand new, I gave him refugee vow in the short form with the initiation.
If you'd like to make
so
a call, please hang up and try again.
Okay, thank you.